Bonnie?
Can I speak up? Yeah, actually we have that procedure, Ambrose, in place. We have forms for reimbursement, including some detail, which Finance Committee has. I sent it out, I think, a couple of days ago. We've been using it for some time now.
And that's what I thought.
So we do have the form. I'll be happy to share that with the board and once we've vetted it through Finance. The current procedure is just what Ambrose describes, and it's absolutely correct. Well, the intent here is to bring it to the board so the board has rendered it to policy. Before we're working with that procedure, we'd like to make it public policy to do it. And that is, it should be submitted to the finance offices at the local stations. You remember, we have five stations. And the local business manager would look at, do the first review, and then pass that along to me as CFO, where it gets second vetting, and then I would present that to the executive director once it's been vetted. The intent is not to have personal expenses like that, where you have expenses going to astronomical levels, $30,000-$40,000, that's not acceptable, and have it go through the finance committee where a company check can be written as opposed to personal credit cards. Now, remember, the board did look at this some time ago, and credit cards were approved and are currently in use. We have one in that office, there's one for Kay as well. So we did, in fact, assist the local stations in obtaining credit cards, and the board approved it. I'm not mistaken, November, December of last year. And so what is in place is that stations do have credit cards. Kay has one, has been in place some time with a credit card limit of $2,500. K has a credit card limit of $2,500.
Hello?
And there's one. T doesn't use credit cards. W doesn't use them very much either. The national office has a credit card that was approved where we use it for board meetings, and we have a credit limit of $50,000. And that's been in place, I don't know, almost a year. So the board did approve it. It did go through. If the motion was passed. So we do have a credit card policy. We do have a procedure for reimbursement. What I'm looking for right now is to have that procedure be embedded in policy. So I'd be happy to share what we currently do in the form. We do have a process. We do have a procedure. Now we're asking for policy.
Okay.
This is Ray again. I have a quick question. I was sure I understood. Lenny, are you saying that you support what the motion has presented, or you agree with what Ambrose suggested?
Actually, I'm supporting Ambrose's suggestion that the intermediary steps be made clear.
We are at time.
Okay, we're at time. So if there's going to be language put to this, then we need to extend time.
Could we come back to the Finance Committee, look at that and send language back to the board? Unless Ambrose has some language that would be appropriate right now.
Do you want to move to refer this back to a Finance Committee for one additional step, Ambrose, or do you want to develop language at the moment?
All you have to do is add the words to the finance office.
Right.
After the words submitted.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to need a couple of minutes to extend to process the motion anyway. Can we get a motion to extend by five?
Yes.
Sure, I do.
Second.
Okay. So now Ambrose.
At Ray LaForce?
I tried, yes.
Thank you.
Okay, so Ambrose, can you repeat the amendment?
I'll read what she's got. All general manager expense reimbursements must be submitted to the finance office via expense reports with receipts attached for approval of the executive director and the CFO before general manager expenses are reimbursed.
Is there a need to debate the amendment, or may we adopt it?
I'm not sure the sentence is logical.
Hang on first. Is there a second?
Yes, second, Lavarne.
Okay, Lavarne seconds. Go ahead, Bob.
A comment and a question. It seems like the original language about or the CFO and the ED's absence should be retained in case there is an absence at some point. That the language Ambrose suggested might seem like it would have to wait till the ED returns. What I'm saying is that
before money is dispersed, both offices must sign.
Can I continue, Dave?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I think there was wisdom in the original wording that says in those occasional times when the ED is not present that the CFO should be authorized to move ahead so that something isn't held up unduly if the ED is going to be away for a few weeks or, you know, whatever. So, and I also have a question, which is maybe I'm just not clear on the terminology. Is an expense reimbursement just something that the GM personally authorizes that's separate from the budget? In other words, I'm not clear. Let's say the station needs more copy paper, and so you put in an order to the XYZ company, and they write an invoice, and you pay it. That's not covered by this, right? Routine expenses of running the station are not covered.
They absolutely are covered if the person is paying it on their credit card.
This is only meant for credit card expenses that a GM advances. I'm just trying to understand the scope of this motion, what it covers and what it doesn't cover.
Don White here.
LaVarne, do you want to clarify?
Sure. Expense reimbursements are items that a general manager chooses, for example, if the general manager plans to take a trip. So any type of personal expenses that are expenses that are related to you actually performing your job, your duties, and your role as a general manager, those are the type of expenses that you would submit to the finance office with receipts attached, and then will be reviewed by the finance office, and then, as we're saying, signed by the CFO and the executive director. Those are expenses that are related to actually performing your responsibility as a general manager. Oh, thank you.
I have a quick question.
There was somebody before you who was
Don White.
If I can get on the stop.
Don White it was. Don White and then Lisa. Don? Cat got his tongue. Lisa?
I just want to understand some small point. LaVarne, because I heard Don before when he was talking about should you put it like an amount, or if it goes over a certain amount, then it would get submitted, I guess, to the finance office for approval. And if I'm not mistaken, I thought I understood you to say that, well, normally the stations have petty cash or some kind of a amount that they can allocate to pay for something if it's a small amount. So I just want to be clear. So I guess, and I'm just confused my own self, but I guess so the station, the GM would determine whether or not they should submit it to the office if it's something that they don't have to cover. Is that it, or?
You mean how use petty cash? I'll let Lonnie go over that policy.
Don White on the line.
Lonnie here.
Go ahead, Lonnie. And we're running out of time, folks. Go ahead.
Well, there are three kinds of expenditures that would be covered by this policy. One is small expenditures, somewhere $50 to $150, and ED might buy paper with it or whatever it might be. And that could be, in fact, obtained cash from a petty cash fund kept by the business manager at each station. And the general manager would bring, or anyone for that matter, would bring the receipts in exchange to show purchase to that product. The second kind of expenditure is an expenditure that a general manager might make on his or her personal credit card. But that, too, would require a receipt be returned to the business manager for vetting. And if there was, for example, the company credit card that a business manager might use, that, too, would require go through the same process. So all of them, all three ways in which a business manager might incur debt in the name of the company would go through a similar process. There's much difference except the amount of money involved with petty cash issues, small amounts and cash, whereas the other items are credit cards, whether it be a company credit card or a personal credit card. And what you would have is a review of the expenditures made by that person. Now, there's not intended to buy things like premiums or pay vendors. That is a company check. except in emergencies, where there might be a need to pay a vendor to get a premium delivered or a special delivered. But normally you want purchases to be made in accordance with the budget and using a company check rather than a credit card. That's generally how it's done in most organizations.
We're actually over time now.
We're over time. If we want to continue discussion, we have to extend time.
Don, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yes, I
think I was muted and didn't know it because I've been talking to my phone.
Is there a motion to extend?
I would like to extend for 5 minutes. I have a really
second.
Question I need to...
Okay, it's been seconded. Is there an objection? Hearing none. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah. You know, this deals with an issue just hypothetically. I just want to lay out hypothetically. If a member of management goes on a trip, has like hotel expenses, food, restaurants, the reimbursements often occur at the station level now. I just want clarity. This policy, if we approve it, would mean that let's say a general manager could not ask for reimbursement from their financial office, their business manager, but would have to submit these to Berkeley. Is that right?
Well, if for a trip, for example, to a board meeting, and it's in the budget of that local station.
Yeah, but now I'm not talking about a board meeting. That's more understandable. I'm saying, let's say, a general manager wanted to, you know, cover a story, like in New Orleans or something, and had expenses. I think in some stations, the reimbursement for expenses of that nature occurs internally, but this policy would mean that any reimbursement of this money would have to go through Berkeley to be approved before a check could be cut to reimburse those expenses. Is that right?
Yeah, ideally, for example, a business manager wants to travel to New Orleans, for example, and there's some known expenses connected with that. What should happen is that that general manager should talk to the executive director, their supervisor, and make known their desire to travel, how much it will cost, and then there's pre-approval. And when the trip is done, then the expenses are submitted for reimbursement.
But reimbursement then would come out of the national office, not out of the local, or the reimbursement would come from the local budget as approved by management in Berkeley. Is that right?
If it's in that local budget, that trip, that travel, then it would, of course, come out of that local station's budget. Not
right.
It would travel and it's related to the national office.
But it would have to be signed off. You'd have to, it would have sign-off now by the CFO and the executive director.
Yeah, intention to travel, so that folks would know, especially if you're talking about substantial expenses. Yeah, that's the way.
Is that policy been clear to general managers up to this point?
Not been as clear as it needs to be. We're hoping to clarify it now. So that some do, some don't. Some have done it that way, some have not. And what we're trying to do is what the steps are and what order.
Can I add one other thing?
Go ahead.
I would just offer this friendly, and if you all said it, maybe I didn't understand it, but I do think, because Don was making a reference to this before, I do think that there should be, like, some amount set, because people have various petty or whatever like that, to say anything over this amount of dollars or whatever must be cleared by the national office, just, you know, like over 300, over 4, whatever the amount, just so they have some kind of something across the board, so... You know, because it seems like you're trying to have more oversight. So I do think that there should be at least an amount added, that if anything over this amount must be cleared by the national, must be submitted to the national office for approval or something like that.
We have less than a minute now.
Yeah, I'm going by Lenny. We've discussed this. I think we have formats in terms of we've talked about format in terms of approval levels.
Yeah.
And basically within the plan or within the budget, you know, if there's any variance over a certain percent, definitely has to go through approval. So we do have approval levels. I think that's what Lisa's talking about in terms of what you can spend and how you have to get approval before you submit something for payment by the foundation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do
okay,
have.
Okay, we're at time. the motion, the amendment is, can you reread the amendment, Ambrose, or does the secretary have the text of the amendment?
No, I'm sorry.
The secretary. General manager expense reimbursements must first be submitted to the finance office via expense reports with receipts attached for approval of the executive director and the CFO before general manager expenses are reimbursed.
Okay. Is there any objection to adopting Lane's amendment? Hearing no objection, that the amendment's adopted. Now, is there any objection to adopting the motion as amended?
What was the main motion?
No objection. What he just read was the full main motion as amended. He read it including the amendment.
Right.
So
okay.
that text is what we're approving if no one objects.
I am confused.
Okay,
well, I guess I have to listen to the recording.
Yeah, I mean, when Ambrose just read, what he read was the way the motion would read if amended. Is that correct, Ambrose?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, so why don't you reread it?
General manager expense reimbursements must first be submitted to the finance office via expense reports with receipts attached for approval to the executive director and the CFO before general manager expenses are reimbursed.
Okay. Is there an objection to adopting that amendment, that resolution?
May I seek a point of information?
Go ahead.
I just want to ask Ambrose and Levon, White just raised an interesting question about does this include any amount of expenditures? Are there any amount that they can operate with without having it to be approved on a national level? Is there, what autonomy does a station have to deal with this?
I think that's Lana's question.
Yeah.
Well, maybe so.
Who's ever questioned why? Excuse me. We'll get an answer to that, but debate is closed. So as soon as we get the answer,
I just wanted to know what was the.
Okay. So hang on, Lonnie. Will you answer the question, and then we'll.
Yeah. You know, I see for petty cash amounts, and that's usually up to $500. General managers have autonomy in that area, but that too gets reviewed in monthly reports, looking at how much petty cash was used by not only the general manager, but anyone really in the state.
Okay.
So, yes, that's how it works.
Okay.
Okay. Now, is there an objection to adopting the amended motion? Hearing no objection, it's adopted. And we're at time for the Finance Committee report. So the other motions... Yes?
Well, I'm just wondering if we can get agreement from the ED that a memo will go to all general managers outlining and reminding them of this procedure.
Yes, that's fine.
And just to remind, we also have a motion that says when the ED communicates with management about resolutions passed by the board is copied. So we'll also get a copy of that.
Yeah, and I'd like a copy of the resolution as passed sent to me so that I can incorporate it, please.
Okay. So we're at time, and we did have other motions from the Finance Committee, but they'll be carried over to our next meeting.
Right.
We are now at the elections, report on the status of the election.
Yeah, I guess I'll have to start this off. And I asked Les if he could be here or at least provide a written report, but I was unable to get him to do either today because of the deadlines. He did tell me, however, that he has hired an intern to work on cleaning up the list as the board requested, that he does not think that all the money that was allocated will need to be spent. But in terms of details on that, I really can't provide you too many. Maybe at the next meeting we can talk about it. But he is mindful of it, and he is dealing with it. On the issue of the carts and compliance more generally, I can tell you that I began inquiring about this about almost a month ago when the original inquiry was made concerning WPFW on the 10th. I began to talk about this with Ron, 10th of October.
And then I broadened it out, actually anticipating what Ambrose was going to suggest to the general managers and program directors on the 23rd of October, requesting that they, first of all, reinforcing that these motions had been passed by the PNB concerning election promotion and carts, and that there would be an evaluation process, having the carts played at least 10 times in the candidate forums. And then also asking them at that time for information on the carriage of the carts, the maintaining of logs, any other perches being used in promoting the elections, any obstacles that people have encountered, and so forth. I have to date received formally two reports from WBAI and from KPFK. From WBAI, I can tell you that the four separate carts for different candidates have been developed, four groups of candidates that are played on a rotating basis each day. Each candidate gets a minimum of two airings per day. A log is provided for the board operator to record the exact time. This was not instituted until November 1, but the carts have already aired several times, and including during the drive that just ended, and that the forms were scheduled for November 1st, November 2nd, and the 6th. Those in New York can correct me if I'm wrong on the dates that these actually occurred, and that there was already also an attempt to organize a candidate night for staff, but that was canceled. So I've received that information from New York, and then also from Los Angeles, from Eva, that the airing of the carts began on the 27th and will continue of October, continuing until the 12th. Also ProMail is urging listeners to turn in their ballots. The statements have been recorded in Spanish, and that rotation started October 30th. On-air forums were scheduled to be held on the 31st of October, 1st of November, and the 2nd, in English and Spanish, and KPFA paid for translators to ensure fairness. At least one community forum was scheduled, and statements are posted on the have been posted on the website since the 25th of September, and they'll also carts and forums will be available. Well, those are the two reports I've received relative to the motions you passed. I've requested from the other stations. I have a little information episodically, but nothing formal. Although I do know that they have made progress on airing carts, although there are obviously still some complaints from time to time from people feeling that the times are not fair or that they did not begin soon enough. But I should be able to give you more at your next meeting when the election is over. That's about all I can tell you. The national office, though it houses the election supervisor, tries to, as much as possible, take a hands-off attitude and allow the national election supervisor and the local supervisors to conduct this in the way they think is best. I see them as ministerial officials. And I think that any kind of intervention, unless it was under extraordinary circumstances, could be viewed as politically motivated. And so in most cases, we opt to remain neutral.
Okay. Any questions on that?
I would like to make a statement that at KPFT, in addition to us holding our pledge drive, we are making the hourly reports, playing the hourly carts, and we started playing them before our pledge drive started, and I have sent an email to Ernesto and Dwayne asking that they send that report to you.
I'm sure that I'll get more reports. People are very busy, and W and T are in the middle of drive, and it's very difficult for them to meet all these deadlines in the middle of their drive, so I mean that as no disparagement. Just wanted you to know which ones I'd received responses from, and but I know they're all trying their best.
Don Wayne.
Go ahead, Don.
Well, clearly, I think talking to people around the network and here at KTFK, the lists are the major concern of a lot of our governance people, listeners, programmers. Here at KPFK, people are receiving multiple ballots. There is a glitch here, people receiving ballots with the wrong last name. So, I mean, we're in the middle of the process. I'm glad that Les has hired someone to help with these lists. Certainly, part of the evaluation must be a concerted effort over the next year, 2 years, to get the lists at all stations up to speed so that they're fairly pure. I mean, at WBAI in New York, I know there are some problems around lists, so we're just kind of hoping that these glitches will not interfere or cause challenges and so on to any of the processes at stations. And I just want to register a real concern over the status of the list around the network.
He's well aware that you have those concerns, and he's explained it to me, the problems. It can be a problem of between 5 and 10% of the names on a list that are either duplicated or incorrect, and it can happen simply because of the way the information arrives. One slight different spelling of a name, one small change in an address, and any kind of automated duplication detection will not work. And so there's a lot of manual activity and phone calling that must take place. And also the lists are not used that often in between, and the result is that there's a lot of returns that come in as well.
Right.
But he's doing as much as he can. He's not guaranteeing that every station will be resolved, but he knows where the largest problems are, and he's trying to address them first.
Thank you.
This is Bob.
Bob, go ahead.
Okay. Greg, I'm wondering if you had any occasion to ask Les about what I know at WBAI, there's a large number of complaints about people who have not received ballots who believe they're entitled based on their membership, and I know that the procedure, I guess I should ask, I understand the procedure is that the local supervisor refers that to Les Radke, and then he fulfills those, or he arranges to send the ballot out from Berkeley. Is that correct?
You know more than I do, to be honest with you. I'm sorry I can't help you with that.
Okay, well, I guess my concern and my question would be, and I'm totally sensitive to what you said earlier about in any way interfering in the autonomy of the supervisor, but this is as you put it, this is a ministerial question. It seems like because Les has so much on his plate right now that he is not able to promptly fulfill these requests, and people are saying that they sent them a week ago or longer and they still haven't gotten the ballot, that maybe money could be made available to immediately hire temps to help with that process, because that is obviously a key to maintaining, to achieving quorum in each station, is to make sure that everyone who's entitled to a ballot gets one. So if finances are the reason that it's not happening promptly, maybe that could be remedied instantly.
I'll ask him. I don't know whether it's a financial problem or some other problem, but I'll tell them. He's trying to save money. He doesn't feel that that money is going to solve the list problem, but he's spending some of the $10,000 that you allocated. But it's possible. I will tell him that that's a possibility and see whether he says it will help.
Can I get on the stack?
Go ahead.
There are 2 minutes left for this item.
Others may know much more about this. I have to be honest with you. I'm not really familiar with this, all of the specifics of how the requests come in. I see the complaints on occasion, but not even all of them.
I have a question, and I'm not even sure Greg probably cannot answer this, but this is something that could be considered, and maybe somebody else on this call might know. But since I was talking to somebody last night who said he hasn't gotten his ballot yet, and at least I know within New York, they have to have been received by the 15th.
That's right.
So if people are getting their ballots so late, is there going to be any extension of time, at least for those who are getting it late?
Good question. I don't know. I mean, I think that he'd have to look at that again. This would be something that could be, you know, requested of. But I don't know whether he's already extended the election in D.C. So I suppose it is possible to do that. You're making that request.
The bylaws, for what it's worth, the bylaws do provide for him to extend
the
time for the election in the event that we fail to make quorum.
This is the first I've heard of this problem, and I'll talk to him tomorrow, and I'll ask him what he thinks about it.
Yes, may I say something?
How much time do we have left?
Any further discussion will require an extension of time. And just so people know where we're at, we are now 20 minutes till midnight. We turn into pumpkins in 20 minutes.
I'm about to turn into a pumpkin now because I have to get off this phone.
I'm feeling a little orange myself.
I'm going to have to get off the call now. I'm sure this will disappoint so many people that I have to get off.
It will disappoint.
Okay. Have a good evening, Lisa.
Okay. Well,
bye, Lisa.
Evening. Excuse me. Have a good early morning. So if there's no extension of time, we're going to move the agenda.
Okay.
Hearing none. Next item on the agenda is the Williams, previously noticed Williams motion to rescind. Levon, would you like to present the motion?
Hello?
Sorry, hello.
Hi.
Actually, it's in terms of the wording, it's really not to rescind, but to amend the original motion in terms of the funding for the archive restoration project. I think I had basically the words were in that we had sent out.
So you want to amend something previously adopted,
right? And
not
right,
if,
it. Ter- yeah. If and I don't have the original motion. Teresa, do you have that? Can you just send that?
Can you tell me the title on it?
It was the last motion. It was
right.
The motion on the archives, on the funding for the restoration of archives tapes.
The Finance Committee.
No,
it had nothing to do with the Finance Committee. It was enacted by the board in its public session in Walnut Creek.
Oh, you're asking me if I have the word?
Original motion, yes.
Original motion.
Yes.
And that would have been from what, let me look
Sunday,
here.
Sunday, the last motion of the day.
That would have been from what date, minute?
October 1st.
October 20th?
October 1st.
31st?
Well, actually, though, Teresa, you printed them when LaVarn submitted them, and that is in the October 20th minutes.
Okay.
The very last thing in the minutes was L. Williams gave notice, and then you print the entire motion from the, well, it's not that long, but you do print the whole motion.
Okay, let me find them and...
Or I can find it, and can we, is there, I know we're going to turn into this pumpkin soon. But if I can look it, I can find it also, then I can give you the new wording on the part of the motion in terms of amending the funding for the...
Well, I'll tell you what, while we look for the exact language, just to remind everybody what we did...
Found it.
Go ahead.
Okay, you want me to read the whole motion? Okay. Move that the Pacifica National Board undertake a 3 to 5 year plan to assure the preservation and long-term protection of the archives by addressing the emergency, : the need to review, transfer, and preserve the vulnerable media now sitting in storage, and (1) direct the archives director to investigate outsourcing tape preservation with various firms and to report those findings to the PMB at its next open agenda meeting, and (2) considering the information, and after the consultation with the station managers or persons assuming the responsibilities of manager and the archives director, PMB will formulate a draft of a 3 to 5 year plan to significantly accomplish this goal at the November meeting, period. Any manager absent from the discussion will provide a written statement to consider, and (3) the plan will be financed in the following manner. The stations will each be assessed up to $25,000 each year for 2 fiscal years, paid in monthly installments, and the national office will be assessed $35,000 each year for 2 fiscal years, paid in monthly installments, to cover the payments needed to contract with the tape preservation services, and the actual amounts determined after those costs have been amortized over 3 to 5 year plan, comment, and that WBAI and APFT will have their assessment charged at the fiscal year, comma, and number four, at the February 2007 meeting, the board will finalize the plans and authorize the work to begin, comma, and five. At the October 2009 PNB meeting, the board will review the plan, and after consultation with the chief financial officer, private director and managers, reassess the timetable of the plan.
Thank you. Okay.
Could you read that again? I didn't hear it.
No, oh, God. David, be quiet.
Sorry,
go to your
I'm
room.
Tired. I'm tired.
Okay.
I'm in my room.
So, yeah, go to your room. So
David Casey.
Thank you. Essentially, the language to amend is the whole section there in terms of to amend is that the Pacifica National Board will seek other means to fund the archive restoration project through off-air fundraising.
Can you clarify? You say you're taking the funding mechanism, all the entire section that describes where the funds will come from, and substituting it?
Right. That the Pacifica National Board, right, will work to determine other means of funding archive restoration through off-air fundraising.
If I could, when you say other means, do you mean other in addition to those specified or instead of those specified?
I would say instead of.
Got it. Okay, thank you.
And the reason is that, just simply is that, if we look at the budget for 07, that the source of the funds, as outlined in the original motion, is really through on-air fundraising to fund this. And that even if we look at the results so far year-to-date in terms of the fundraisers and the results, we know at KPFA that we currently have, we missed our fundraising by initially a little over $100,000. That WBAI, I believe, also missed theirs by, I don't know, something about $50,000, and that it is not trending well as far as looking at using funds, on-air fundraising, to fund other projects other than what's currently in the budget for 07.
Okay, it's open for debate.
Point of information.
Before we open it for debate, I want to be sure, the Secretary, you know what the amendment is?
Actually, yeah. No. LaVarne, have you sent me
I'll send it to you now. I'll send it to you now.
Great. Okay, then AC was first to be recognized. Go ahead, AC.
I think this motion, to bring that sort of motion up at the last minute, we only have a few minutes left before the 12 o'clock hour. I would urge that this motion be either... Well, let me say, first of all, refer to the next meeting to be discussed. I wish you a substitute to that effect.
Okay, so you're making a motion to postpone consideration till our November 24th meeting?
Yes.
Okay, is there a second to that?
I'll second that.
Okay, there's a second. The postponement, I'll take two in favor and two opposed. Who is opposed to postponement?
Can I say something? Since we only have, like you said, only have about 10 minutes, I mean, I would support moving it at this point, too.
Okay. Is there anybody opposed to postponement? If not, then is there any opposition to postponing? I guess that's the same thing. See?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
We have no business doing business when we're like this.
that's what it looks
so
like.
So the next thing left on the agenda is, hold on a moment, I believe a discussion of the, am I correct, the new business, the only new business that's remaining is
unfinished business.
The update on LSB chair reports and LSB compliance with LSB roles and responsibilities.
Right.
We have a half hour for that, and I'm not clear who is going to be presenting information on what reports we have.
I will say...
What reports? You will? Who's that?
This is Teresa.
Go ahead.
I will report that I did receive a report by the chair of the WBAI local station board.
Mm-hmm.
I received it on the 6th. Hey.
Okay.
Ms. Patty?
Have we received any... Go ahead, Patty.
Yeah, this is Patty. I also sent out a report, a response to that report today because it was only sent to... It was only sent to us to comment on today around 1 o'clock, and we had by till 5 to respond, which was impossible as I was at work. So I addressed the chair's report once again with, you know, what I see as the fact that, you know, they go together. I hope people will
okay.
read both of them.
Mary Berg?
Okay. What do we have from the other LSDs?
Yeah, that was my question. What do we have from the other...
Mr. Chair?
Yes?
I will take some responsibility for this in that, I don't know, did anyone formally send a notice out to the chairs and tell them to please do this, to send another report? I mean, did Richard Phelps get another formal request from us to do that, for example?
Richard Phelps said...
This is Lydia.
Please.
Okay. Yes, I was told by our chair that she received a notice from, I think it was Alpina, but it was definitely from the national office at the time that we passed it. And I know at our governance meeting, we have mentioned it at 3 governance meetings ever since. Grace is still working on it.
Don White here.
Actually, a report was submitted by Grace today as well.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. I didn't see it, but.
Don?
Good.
Well, I was just going to say, I talked to our chair today, and she has submitted a report. I don't know if it's been widely distributed, but it certainly has gone out.
Okay.
Mary.
Anybody else?
Well, Mary Berg, about that Teresa asked, was it ever sent out? It was sent out before the in-person meeting, since... the New York chair had replied to it, saying she couldn't have the report by that time. So, and the chair of our board, I can't prove that the other chairs got the notice before our in-person meeting, though others seem to say they did. But our chair certainly got the notice when he was there at the in-person meeting and did not submit a report. So, I think it seems that everybody did get a report. I guess if you really want to know further, we'll have to check with the national office to see which report was sent. But those two people certainly did get a report.
Well, the Mr. Chair, am I correct in thinking that the chairs of the local station boards do not report to the executive director? I don't know who requested that they submit reports. I do know that the KPFT LSB chair submitted one, but the KPFA local station board chair seemed genuinely surprised when he gave a report, but it was not the report that we asked for. So I'm wondering who is responsible to formally request those reports from the chairs.
Is anybody else getting that herding cats feeling?
Yeah.
We got to decide how we're going to follow this up, because just listening to the discussion, it's clear that there was no single entity that was responsible for carrying it out. And we need a way to do that, particularly because the other half of this agenda item speaks to what, you know, how we make sure that our subcommittees, which the LSBs are doing what the bylaws require. So I think if we're going to be dealing with this, we have to have some person or body responsible for it.
Well, I'd like to say that our executive director, Greg Guma, has been very thorough. Althea sent out reports I know, asking for the committees to report. Did she send one out in advance to the chairs telling them?
Yeah, we did. I'm trying to find out what date that went out, but it went out before the Berkeley meeting and
right.
then again it afterwards. I just can't nail down the exact date.
All right, we can say that really they did all get the request in advance.
Yes, I mean I don't know who is responsible for doing it, but I did do it.
Okay, thank you very much. You covered my took us. So, Mr. Chair, I would move that we request the chair of the KPFA local station board to submit a report.
I guess that motion is in order, but I'd like, actually, before I rule it in order, I'd like you to specify in a little greater detail something about when you say we ask. Right now there's no identified person who's responsible for making the request you described.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, this is LaVarna. I'd like to speak.
Well, may I?
Can you make the motion be specified so we know actually how to know that it's being done and who to ask about it?
Well, I believe that the PNB can, if you'd like the secretary of the PNB to send a request to the chair of the KPFA board that the chair submit the report that was requested at the October meeting.
Okay, so the LSP secretary is the motion. Hang on. Is there a second?
Mr. Chairman.
The reason I'd like to
no
speak.
Second?
Mr. Chair.
I'll recognize you.
I'm sorry.
Excuse me. I'll recognize you as soon as I know whether or not we have a motion on the floor.
I will second it.
I heard
it.
No second.
No, I'm seconding it.
Okay, it's seconded. Okay, go ahead, LaVarna.
I don't think the chair of the local station board at KPFA will have an issue with submitting the report. If we ask him, I don't think this has to go into a motion. I think this is where we get carried away with doing motions. I will ask the chair to submit a report. When would you like it submitted? I'm sure he will do it. I mean, I'm sorry, I must have missed the first part of this. Did the chair say that he was not going to submit a report?
No. He was asked at the person a month ago.
Who?
In person.
Okay, well, we'll just follow up. Has anyone followed up with him?
No, and that was the issue I was really trying to raise, LaVarna, which
you,
is that, that there's been no follow-up by us, and
yes.
The question I was raising was, what is our mechanism for following up what we say we want?
I will personally call the chair of our local station board and ask him if he could submit the report in writing. And when would you like him to do this?
Would he do it by Monday?
I'll ask him to do it as soon as possible.
Okay.
Would that be okay?
Given that, do you want to withdraw your motion, Teresa?
I would be happy to. Point of information, Mr. Chair.
Hang on. Does the person making the second have any objection to its withdrawal?
No.
Okay. There's no
adjournment. Mr. Chair.
Adjournment has been moved a full 3 minutes in advance of when we turn into pumpkins.
Mr. Chair?
Yes?
No, Mr. Chair.
No. I will object. I want to make a motion in the next 2 minutes.
There has been an objection. Ambrose, will you withdraw it? Because otherwise I have to take roll.
No. I'll get off. I've got to go. I really have to go.
Okay.
Good night.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye.
We have 2 minutes left. Mary,
my motion
your
is that
fast motion.
Yeah, my motion is, I think your point was well taken, Bertie. We're not sure who's supposed to be doing this, so my motion is that PNB and Teresa's going to kill me, but you won't have to be the secretary, maybe, if you're lucky, later on. I move that the PNB secretary be the person who would designate, who would notify LSB chairs of decisions that affect them. That require action.
Second to the motion?
Second.
I second it. Disagree.
Okay. It's always cool to pawn work off on our fellows. So, any discussion?
Teresa, I love you, but
I know, I love you too. But
any discussion?
I'm wondering if we're maybe like, I mean, I'm not opposed. I should have done this. I felt I should have. But since Althea has done this already, as Greg has said, if Althea sent this request out to all the committees, and when she did it to the Archives Committee and the Affiliates Committee and our Task Force and Finance to submit the reports, if she did it to the LSB chairs, then I'm not quite sure if this motion about notifying them of motions fits with this unfinished business. And my question is, does this need to go through governance? Or, I mean, I'm not opposed if you want to continue discussing this and vote on it now, but I think we need to consider whether we have enough time to give it the thought necessary. Thank you.
Just to clarify, do you want to refer the question to the governance committee?
Mr. Chair, could I
be compliant?
Could I speak to this motion? I think that maybe
it's
not understood. I am talking about future directives and motions and directives which affect the LSB chairs, which require some action on their part that the secretary notify them. I'm only talking about in future.
Okay,
I don't think you need to refer it anywhere.
No, I don't need to go to the governance.
It doesn't need to go, you know.
All right, well, we're at time, so we're going to have to bring the matter to a vote. Can you repeat the motion, Mary?
The motion is that the secretary be the person designated to notify LSB chairs
of notions
and others, I should say, in case it was somebody like that, of directives and motions which affect them or require action on their part.
Okay. Is there any objection to adopting that motion? Hearing no objection, it's adopted, and we are at the agreed-upon time for adjournment. Unless there's a motion to extend in two-thirds majority, we will go to adjournment. Hearing no motion to extend, the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Hey, good night,
everybody.
Everybody.
I'll see you on the 24th.
Teresa, stay on for 1 second.
I have your message. Do you want me to?
Teresa, you're still there, Mary?